Praise God. Tonight, if you're here, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Samuel 17, and I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. We're going to talk about David and Goliath. Most of you know the story probably since you were a little kid, you know. But just kind of in context, verse 4 of 1 Samuel 17 talks about Goliath and his huge size or whatever. It says, "Then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall." Now think about this, 9 feet tall. I looked it up. The tallest NBA athletes were like 7'6". So like a foot and a half taller than the tallest people in the NBA. Now think about if you were 9 feet tall, I mean, think about playing basketball. I mean, you wouldn't even have to jump. All you have to do is just like, go like this and dunk the ball. I mean, how awesome would that be? Now, the hard part would be finding clothes for you. I mean, being a big guy, it's hard to find clothes for big. If you were 9 feet tall, that would be terrible. Plus, thinking of walking out every door you walked out. I mean, you'd have to duck every time you walked out of a door or whatever. I don't know if he had a special hut or how where he lived, but I know it's getting real popular now. You see those tiny houses on TV now? People get those little tiny houses. Well, hopefully he had probably had one of these large houses. Anyway, 9 feet tall. So think about that. He wore a bronze helmet and his bronze coat of mail weighed 125 pounds. You think your junk mail weighs a lot? No. Basically, his body armor, what we would call it nowadays. Now, of course, obviously, we live in a day where everyone wants things lighter. His 125 pounds. Think about putting an extra 125 pounds on your body. No, I mean, as a warrior, he probably wore it every day. And the fact that you could carry extra 125 pounds and it not bother you is pretty a big deal. So I'm just trying to give you an idea of how big this guy was. It goes on to say he wore a bronze leg armor and he carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder. So the shaft of his spear was as heavy and as thick of a weaver's beam. Everyone knows what a weaver's beam is. I have no clue what a weaver's beam is, but it must be thick. All right. And it says with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. So basically, that's like the heaviest bowling ball you can find. Think about that being sharp and think about that hitting you in the head. Being hit with a bowling ball, period, would actually hurt. But, basically, I'm trying to find something that's on 15 pounds. I want you to imagine, what this guy was like. That was his javelin. I mean, the guy was big. He was strong. He probably was ugly and mean, too. Not only that, is that, he also was fully armored. He had, armor on, Under Armour, I don't know. He was all armored up. And then he had an armor bearer, just like most pastors now. He had an armor bearer that walked ahead of him and carried a shield. Now, I always wonder, how big was the shield? I mean, was the shield as big as the guy? How do you get that job? What do? I carry a shield, that might sound like a cool job, but you understand that you're probably less protected than he is because you're trying to protect him. So anyway, I'm just saying, sometimes, we hear stories, but we don't actually think about, 9 feet tall, that means he would almost touch the ceiling in a lot of places. I don't know how I guess he didn't drive cars back then. Because that wasn't the problem, but anyway, so what did Goliath do? Verse 8 says, Goliath stood and shouted a taunt across to the Israelites. Why are you all coming out to fight? He called, I'm the Philistine champion, but you are only the servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. And if he kills me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me. When Saul and his Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. How in the world one guy just talking smack? It scared everybody. Now here's something else. Skip down to verse 16. For 40 days, every morning and evening, the Philistine champion strutted in front of the Israelite army. So for 40 days, this guy, came and ran his mouth every morning and every night. I mean, after a while, that'd get a little annoying. And you would think, you know, that within 40 days, someone's like, well, you know what, let me go give it a shot or something. But I guess no one wants to, because you realize if that one guy loses, everyone becomes their slave. So, you know, nobody would send out, you know, anybody, but, you know, so, I mean, it's 40 days. They just sat around, you know, listen to this guy, you know, John, talk about how he's going to beat up everybody. And then we run into David. Now, this actually eventually was King David, but remember, he wasn't King David back then. He was a 17-year-old kid. All right, 17-year-old kid, you know, maybe he was 16, I don't know, but you know, because, you know, theologians, they don't know exactly, but you know, he was just a kid. And the only reason he actually showed up there is he was bringing bread to his brothers and checking on, seeing how the battle was going so he can, you know, can give his dad a report about how things are going. And so he shows up. And so now you have to understand, transportation was a little bit different back in then. So evidently, you know, by the way, he was kind of shocked. And David hadn't visited his brothers for the last 40 days. You know, so evidently, you know, this is new to him. You know, because sometimes we think, you know, I mean, you know, it is interesting because, you know, I travel a lot internationally, you know, and sometimes I complain, man, you know, it took me 23 hours to get here. But I'm across the world. I mean, you know, 23 hours. I mean, it seems like a long time, but, you know, I don't know how long it took David even to get to the battlefield from his home. It might have took 3 days or 4 days or whatever. Remember, he wasn't driving a car. You know, he probably didn't even have a donkey. I mean, he walked. You know, and, you know, I know the other day my son was complaining about walking 15 minutes to a place, you know, think about if all you did was walk all the time. Number one, you'd be in better shape. I mean, maybe that would help me. Maybe I should start walking. But if I'm walking to Oklahoma City all the time, it would take me forever. I guess you could do it. Anyway, so here David was. He was there at the battlefield, and he was talking to his brothers and the other people there. And we're skipping down to verse 23. It says this, as he, talking about David, was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, came out from the Philistine ranks. Then David heard him shout his usual taunt to the armies of Israel. So, you know, he was doing the same old that he did every day for 40 days. As soon as the Israelite army saw him, they began to run away in fright. So they got scared just being seen this guy. I mean, you know, they couldn't even be around it. Goes on to say, verse 25, have you seen this giant, the men asked. He comes out here to defy Israel. The king has offered a huge reward to anyone who kills him. He will give that man one of his daughters, which that's a good reward for a wife. And the man's entire family will be exempt from paying taxes. That's pretty awesome. Your whole family never pay taxes again. I mean, you know, because you killed this guy. I mean, that's a pretty good reward. I mean, think about it. If you never had to pay taxes again, how much extra money you would have. But not just you, but your entire family for generations after generations don't pay any more taxes. I mean, that's a pretty good reward. Anyway, verse 26, David asked the soldiers standing nearby, what will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending his defiance of Israel? And then mark these words. He says, who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God? See, here's the thing about it, and maybe it was because this was a young guy, but David showed up with a different perspective. He realized who he was, and he realized that him being an Israelite was a part of the army of God. And sometimes we need to realize whenever we're facing our Goliath battles, that we, you know, we need to know who we are in Christ Jesus. We need to know that we're part of the family of God. And when we look at the God perspective, it makes things a whole lot different because, you know, if we know, you know, we talk about who we are in Christ Jesus, think about what Jesus did for us. Now, this is Old Testament, but, you know, here we live in the New Testament. Jesus already defeated Satan. And Satan is actually basically your Goliath. He's the one who comes and starts yelling chants and yelling how much he's going to destroy you. And maybe it's not yelling, but to your own brain, it feels like yelling. He's the one who brings thoughts to your mind. But understand that our Lord and Savior has already whipped the devil. And we have to know who we are in Christ Jesus. Now, obviously, you know, here, you know, in the Old Testament, David knew that he was a part of the army of God. And to the file, Israel was the file God. And he's like, well, who is this guy? How can you come against God? Now, you know, maybe it took someone from the outside to come up with that perspective. You know, because everybody else was looking at the giant, and David was looking at his God. And that's what we have to do whenever our giants come, whenever our giant battles, you know, seem to be insurmountable in front of us. We have to forget about our giant and remember about our Jesus. Because, you know, when we start focusing on our giant, we get kind of scared. If you look about, you know, maybe some financial situations you owe, or maybe, you know, I know it's tax season. A lot of people love this time of year because they get a tax refund. I'm usually one of the guys end up paying. I don't like this time of year. And sometimes I'm thinking, man, I didn't save up an extra couple of thousand dollars to make the, you know, but mine's only a couple of thousand dollars. I know some businesses that owe like $25,000 and they didn't have it. I talked to a guy 2 years ago he didn't mean to get in the situation, but he hired the wrong tax guy, and it came to tax time, and he fired one guy and hired a new guy, and the new guy said, you haven't been doing your taxes right the last few years, and not only have to fix this year, we got to fix the last 3 years, or you're going to be all the, you know, this stuff, and he had to come up on the fly with like 10 grand. I mean, maybe that's not a big deal for you. Maybe some of you guys, you know, 10 grand would be, but for me, that's a big deal. I'm pretty sure for all of us, it's a big deal. Yeah. All right. You know, that could be a Goliath of a problem. You know, but the thing about it is you understand we're not facing our problems alone. Amen. The greater one's with us. Amen. In fact, Jesus actually said himself, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. He's always with us. So you realize you're never in your problem. But here's the thing is Jesus always said, you know what? I've already defeated your problem. Now, I understand it looks like a Goliath of a problem, but this guy looks like a Goliath of a man. But when you know who your God is and when you know who you are in Christ, it doesn't really matter how big your problem might be, how much it weighs, how tall it is, how big it is. What matters is who is your Jesus? Who is your God? You know, who are you? I mean, you know, in all reality, we are nobodies. But whenever we accept Christ, we become somebody. I mean, you know, and you know, some people, I've heard people, you know, obviously traveling around with my grandfather said, well, yeah, but that's Brother Hagin or whatever. But, you know, my grandfather said, well, he's no respecter of persons. And that's what I want to point out right here. This might have been the guy who eventually became King David, but at the time, he wasn't King David. His brothers didn't look very highly at him. He was just a lowly old kid that was watching the sheep. He wasn't King David. But it doesn't matter who you are, you can still whip your Goliath. If you know your God and you know your Jesus. You know, in fact, actually, skipping down with verse 20, 28, I'm going to give you what I just said right here. It says, but when David's oldest brother, Eliab, heard David talking to the men, he was angry. He says, what are you doing around here anyway? He demanded. What about those few sheep you're supposed to be taking care of? I know about your pride and deceit. You just want to see the battle. So he's like, you know, David, you're nobody. Just go home. Go take care of your little lamb. You know, David had a little lamb. Anyway, whatever. I mean, you know, he didn't really... His brothers didn't think very highly of him. You know, because sometimes, you know, when we read about somebody, you know, obviously this is early on in David's life, we think, oh, that's King David. You know, that's the one who killed 10,000. I mean, that's, you know, no, this is a 17-year-old kid that watches a bunch of sheep. But also the 17-year-old kid who knew who his God is, and he knew that he was part of the, he's an Israelite. He's part of the children of Israel. He knew his heritage. You know, I'm proud of my heritage. I know my heritage, but he knew his heritage. And he knew that anybody who came against Israel comes against God. And that's what you have to understand, that anybody that really comes against you also comes against Jesus Christ. You're a child of the King. Anyway, going on, verse 32. So now David gets in front of Saul, the king, you know, and he says this, don't worry about this Philistine, David told Saul. I'll go fight him. Well, here's Saul's response. "Don't be ridiculous," Saul replied. "There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he is a man of war since his youth." So basically he's saying, you know, this guy's been fighting battles as old as you are. And plus, have you seen the guy? And have you looked at yourself? I mean, you know, supposedly that David was, I don't know, around 5'10", you know, and they say ruddy complexion, whatever that means. I mean, you know, he was just a little kid. I mean, you know, imagine, you know, little skinny high school kid. You know, but surprisingly, as far as we know, that he's the first guy ever in 40 days to actually even come to Saul and says, "I'll do it." Because he knew who his God is. But now this is what I like. David then, once he, you know, Saul told him he couldn't, David gave him his testimony. It's always good to have a testimony. He says this, but David persisted, verse 34, "I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats." He said, "When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I have done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too. He has defiled the armies of the living God." Now, I want you to think about this. I mean, think about headline news, you know, kid kills lion or bear. I mean, if I was to go out today and decide to go out in the middle of the wilderness somewhere and all of a sudden a bear or a lion attacks me and I kill him with a club, I mean, I'd be all over CNN tomorrow. And it wouldn't be fake news. I mean, it'd be like, you know, guy kills the lion with his bare hands. Now, here's what actually got me. I don't know if I've ever seen this before. It says that if a lion or a bear comes, I would go and take it from the mouth to the lion or bear. And if it turns on me, then I would club it to death. So I guess, you know, if it didn't turn, he would just take it from and then let it live and walk on. Now, here's the thing. Have you ever dropped something on the floor like food and have a little dog? I mean, I'm talking about a small little dog, and tried to take that from that dog? Or a bone from, you ever try to take a bone from a dog? Even if you're, you know, even one of those chew toys taken from a dog, these dogs don't get excited about that. That's, you know, it's food or that's, you know. So think about this, you know, a lion or a bear. Now, here's what I also never noticed before. It going on here, it says, "I have done this to both lions," plural, "and bears," plural. So not just one time, but multiple times, David has killed lions and bears with a club. Now, what he is actually trying to tell the, you know, King Saul was, the reason I was able to do this, and understand, you know, David did not have Philippians 4, you know, "I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me," but he believed in it. See, he knew that he was responsible for the sheep, and he had prayed, I'm sure, that the Lord would protect him if he has to go after a lion and a bear. But what he's just saying, maybe this guy's bigger than a lion or a bear, but I've defeated lions and bears. And I don't think he was trying to be boastful like I've done it, but I've done it with God's help. You know, but here's the thing about it is, now, I don't know if anybody's ever tended sheep or goats. I haven't, but maybe some of you have. But I know I've seen some things on TV. Doesn't things like maybe coyotes or foxes also try to attack sheep and goats? So probably, you know, he also had to take care of a few coyotes or foxes, you know, but those aren't even worth mentioning. I mean, I'm sure he had this more than, and he had lions and bears experience. I mean, this is, I mean, blowing my mind. But the point is that, see, you know, God will help you with a lion or a bear or a sheep or a coyote. I mean, a sheep is what you're trying to keep, or a fox or a coyote. But that same God will also help you with your Goliath. Now, let's point that down to our situation. You know, maybe you're in a situation where you're just a little bit short, you know, and maybe $100, a couple hundred dollars, maybe even, you know, you don't eat. I mean, that might be a coyote or a fox, or maybe you need like $300 to fix your car. That might be a lion or a bear, but then you need a $10,000. That's Goliath. But it doesn't matter what you need. Our God will meet whatever you need, whether it's big, whether it's small, whether it doesn't matter. But you know, and that's an understanding. The same God that will help you through the small things will also help you through the big things. So don't neglect your lions and bears or your coyotes and foxes. You know, it might be small, maybe it's not that big a deal. But the thing about it is it takes the same faith to defeat Goliath as it does. Now, I mean, a lion and bear seems kind of a big thing too. I don't know about you. Maybe some of you guys are really a lot more different than I am. And, you know, you go to the zoo like, man, anybody could just jump over that fence and go, you know, club that thing to death, no problem. I mean, with a, you know, he had a club with his bare hands. He just clubbed the thing to death. I mean, you know, I mean, we're not talking about he had a gun. I mean, some of you guys, yeah, no problem, man. I got a gun. I mean, I shoot the lion, the bear, the coyote, the giant. Doesn't matter. I got it all covered. His bare hands and a club. You know, so. But basically, David was giving Saul his testimony. The reason I can do this is because I've had the lions and the bears. And so, you know, sometimes whenever you, I mean, here's the deal. We're all human. Is everyone human? If you know, the way you feel human is take your hand and pinch yourself real hard. And if it hurts, you're probably human. If not, maybe you're not. I don't know. But anyway, we all have the same emotions. And there are some times that we have Goliath of a problem show up, whether it be a physical problem, you know, I mean, I tell you what, sometimes it feels like, I mean, some of you, I thank God I didn't get any of the flu stuff, but I know a lot of people who did, and they might have felt like that was the Goliath of a flu. I mean, I know some people were down for 2 weeks. You know, I mean, sometimes you have what they call the 24-hour flu. You know, maybe that was a coyote flu, but I mean, this was, you know, this was a 2-week flu, and then they come back to work and they're still coughing for another couple of weeks. You know, it's a you might think that was a Goliath flu. You know, but sometimes we have Goliath things, you know, that take place, you know, physically in our bodies. You know, sometimes we have Goliath financial issues. You know, but the thing is. Whenever those things come, and I get it, our mentally, our mind, first of all, is going to say, what am I going to do? But that's when on the inside of you have to remember who I am in Christ Jesus. And then you have to remember, you know what? I'm going to do the same thing I did with the small things. You know, my dad talked about whenever we started our college, he said that, you know, at that time, things were a little tight. And he wanted to make sure that my sister and I, we had food and we had some clothing or whatever. So he said, I did not ever have any lunch money. I did not bring any money for lunch, you know. And so if I wanted to get lunch, then either someone had to buy it for me, someone had to give me money or whatever. And he said, so, but I would go every day believing God, that, you know, for lunch because he wanted to eat. And he says he can't even count the times that he would come back and someone says, hey, can I take you to lunch? Or there'd be a $5 bill sitting on his desk. And, you know, it happened time and time and time and time again. Well, you know, maybe lunch was not a big problem because, you know, he probably could have went, you know, he could have said, well, I'm going to fast today. A good day to fast because I don't have any money, so might as well fast. You know, my brain thinks when I preach, so I had to think of my... Right now in my desk drawer, I have like $4. And I don't know why. Sometimes I you know, someone gives me a dollar. I put it in my desk drawer. So, you know, if I ever show up one time, I don't have any money. I have $4. So stash away or whatever. It's funny because I was at a certain place and they have those, you know, you buy 10, get one free or whatever. And they say, wait, or actually this one place uses points. He goes, do you want to use your free one? I said, no. I said, I just got paid last week or last Friday. I don't want to use my free one. I want to wait till, you know, things might be a little tight. I'll use my free one then. See, that's why I have a degree in accounting because, you know, I always think about that ahead of time, you know. Some people say, oh, yeah, a free sandwich. I'm like, I want the free sandwich whenever I'm hungry. You know I could fast and pray, but, you know, I'd rather pray fast and eat, all right? So, you know, so, but the point is, hey, the small things, are just like the big things. It's not, it's because you have the same God. And I know we get our minds like blown. How am I going to handle this? But the thing is, you have to understand, it's not up to you to handle this. That's when I like to look at Proverbs chapter 3. You know, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. What are you going to do? Trust God. Trust God for the Goliaths and trust God, you know, for the foxes. The lions, the bears, whatever it might be. I mean, just trust God. The same God that delivered you from the small things will deliver you from the big things. You know, and the thing about it is, you know, sometimes, you know, I'm different than a lot of people. I talk to the devil a lot. I don't know why. I think it's because my dad, I kind of listen to what my dad does. You know, so a lot of times, you know, when we have these thoughts, you know, the devil will attack our mind, and all of a sudden he'll try to, and I kind of think about Jesus. You know, whenever he attacked Jesus, Jesus said, well, for it's written, remember, he always, you know, so you have to know what's written. But a lot of times whenever the devil comes against me, you know, I'll tell him about my lions and bears and how this Goliath is not that big a deal either. You know, but maybe this is different than I've ever faced before, but you know what? The same God that delivered me last time is going to deliver me again. Because I know my God. You need to know your lions and bears. Know your wins. Now see, you know, you also have to know who you put your faith in and put your who you put your trust in. So Goliath, I mean, you know, David was trying to tell Saul, I can do this because this is my testimony. Now, interesting part about it is that we never read. Now, understand, Saul said, first of all, don't be ridiculous. But once he hears the testimony, he says, okay, basically. You know, actually, we'll read verse 37 here. Skip down. I have to go back up. Verse 37 says, the Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. Saul finally consented and said, all right, go ahead, he said, and may the Lord be with you. Amen. Sounds like Star Wars. May the force be with you. I mean, so, you know, my question is, you know, when Saul says, may the Lord be with you, is the Lord not with him? I mean, you know, the Lord's not, he's always with us. And that's the thing. Saul forgot the Lord was with him too. You know, it's not a may the Lord be with you. The Lord is with him. Amen. And see, like I said, David said, the same God that delivered me from the lions and the bears is going to deliver me from this giant. And that's the mentality we have to have. The same God that got me through the small issues, you know, when I needed $25, when I needed $50, you know, is the same God that's going to be there when I need $10,000 or even more. Or the same God that's going to be with me whenever I'm told I have terminal cancer. The same God that healed me from a cold. Amen. Is the same God that's going to heal me from terminal cancer. That's right. Because our God is always the same. Amen. Anyway, he goes on to say, verse 38, then Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet, a coat of mail. David put it on, strapped the sword over it, and took a step or two to see what it was like. For he had never worn such things before. And he says, I can't go in these, he protested to Saul. I'm not used to them. See, the thing is that I understand this armor was probably good, but David's never tested it in battle. And David, you know, understand for any of us to put on, you know, I'm sure Saul's coat wasn't as 125 pounds, but, you know, it might have been 25, 30, 40, 50, 60. I mean, this is a skinny little kid. He goes, I can't even walk in this stuff. You know, so what did David do? Well, he did what he knows to do. It says, so David took it off. He picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream and put them in the shepherd's bag. Then armed only with his shepherd's staff and a sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. So here's a guy with 5 rocks and a slingshot. Going after, you know, and the thing about it is, Saul sent the guy. I mean, I know most of us probably, you know, you talk about bringing a knife to a gunfight. I mean, you know, this is even worse. Talk about bringing some rocks to a gunfight. And I don't know if you have ever seen one of their slings. You know, my parents went to Israel back in 1976, I think it was, and they brought me back one of the slings, supposedly, it was real similar to what David's sling is, made out of different material. And you take this thing, and first of all, they gave me no instructions. The great thing about now is we have Google. I could probably read the Google instructions or whatever, but you know, I unfortunately, I couldn't find any smooth stones in my backyard. One might have a little couple points and things on there, but I loaded that thing up, goes like this, and every time I did, it hit me in the head. I mean, you know, it was like, after the third rock hit me in the head, I said, this is stupid. So I asked my mom, because you know, I already had set my target up and everything, because I'm thinking, man, I'm going to do this. You know, I asked my mom if she could take me to the store so I could buy one of those rubber band slingshots, you know, because I got my target set up. I said, Mom, I got my target set up. And you brought me this dumb sling and I can't use it. You know, and I really would like to. So, you know, so I convinced my mom enough to go take me and got me. And I was able to hit my target. But, you know, with his, I couldn't do anything. But I hit myself in the head. So I had never used that kind of bat. You know, it wouldn't have worked for me. You know, the deal is you have to use what works for you. And I understand there's great men and women of God that tell you, well, you know, do it this way, do it that way. You know what? How did you defeat your coyote or your lion? Or, I mean, what'd you do then? Do what you know to do. Amen. I mean, you know, so imagine this. I mean, you got this big old guy, 9 feet tall and all this bronze armor. And then you have David, the 17-year-old with no armor, 5 stones. And a sling, not a slingshot, it's a sling. It's, you know, because trust me, there is a big difference. If you want to test it out, go online, buy you a sling. You know, I don't mean a sling you put your arm in. I mean, you know, I'm sure you can buy one and tell me how well it worked for you. Maybe if you practice a lot, maybe you'll get good at it or whatever. But anyway, he says, verse 41 says, Goliath walked out toward David with his shield bearer ahead of him. So you know, not only he has his own army, he got the guy in front of him, who was probably bigger than David, sneering in contempt at this ruddy-faced boy. And he says, am I a dog, he roared at David, that you come at me with a stick? And he cursed David by the names of his gods. Come here, and I'll give you I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals, Goliath yelled. So actually, Goliath are probably just happy that they sent somebody. But then they're like, you didn't even send me a soldier. You sent some little kid. I mean, you know, what is this, suicide? I mean, you know, that's probably, Goliath was probably, I mean, laughing. But here's the thing, is see, David didn't even stop. It says, you know, verse 45, David replied to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's army, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. He said, you know what? I'm not coming in my own strength. It's not about me. It's about my God. And I'm coming in the name of the Lord. I'm coming in the name of God. And I don't care how armored up you are. You know, my God is bigger than your armor. And you know, sometimes that Goliath looks pretty big. But our God is bigger than any Goliath, any kind of situation that you can ever get yourself into. Your God is greater. You know, and we sing that sometimes. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. You know, but do you really believe it whenever you're facing that situation? Where, you know, in your own mind, you're thinking, man, that's a big guy. I mean, think about this. 9 feet tall. Yeah. 9 feet tall. I mean, bigger than any person you've ever seen. And we're not talking about 9 feet skinny tall. We're talking about a big guy. You know, I mean, he's 9 feet tall. I mean, who knows what he weighed? I mean, he carried an extra 125 pounds on him. And I guarantee you, if you carry extra 125 pounds, pretty soon you'll be in pretty good shape. You know, anyway, he says, verse 46, today the Lord will conquer you. He didn't say, I'm going to conquer you. Understand, he understood his God. He understood that I'm just the vessel the Lord's going to use. But he says, today the Lord will conquer you and I will kill you. But see, the Lord's going to do the conquering. I'm just the guy or I'm just a woman. I'm just a person God's using to conquer you, but it's not me. I'm not going in my own strength. I'm coming in the power of God. He says, today the Lord will conquer you and I will kill you and cut off your head. Then I will give the dead body of your man to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with the sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. Understand, you're not fighting your own battle. You're fighting the Lord's battle. You're part of the Lord's army. I mean, it's not about you. It's about your God. And whenever you see something that seems too big for yourself, it doesn't matter if it's too big for you. The things that are impossible to men are possible with God. All things are possible to them that believe. Amen. And see, do you understand that David, he never thought about not winning. Now, maybe it's good that he was 17 and hadn't had a lot of bad theological error taught to him. And maybe, well, here's the thing, you know, the greater part about it is he's already not knowing that he had been working his way up the ladder. You know, he already killed the coyotes and the lions and the bears and all the, I mean, he was like, you know, how can it be much different? You know, like I said, I mean, that's kind of a big deal. A lion and a bear is kind of a big deal. I mean, you know, and the fact that it's lions and bears plural makes it a bigger deal. Because when you were in children's church, you probably actually didn't draw multiple lions or multiple bears. You know, you might have drawn some cartoons, you know, some things about David and whatever, and here's one bear and one lion, but you didn't draw over and over again, let's draw another lion and another lion and another bear and another bear and, you know, put a few foxes and coyotes, and those things come in packs, so maybe, you know, you need about 10 of those or whatever. So, I mean, you know, so he says, you know, you're only one guy. You might be big, but, you know, I serve a big God. Amen. And that's what we have to understand. We have to remember when we're looking at our Goliath that we serve a big God, that our God is more than enough. He gives us the ability. You know, I mean, we can get through it because of our God. Anyway, verse 48, as Goliath moved closer to the attack, David quickly ran out to meet him. So he wasn't just walking out the battle. He took on a full charge run. I mean, that's kind of you understand a bowling ball of a javelin. I mean, he wasn't thinking about, you know, you can throw a javelin pretty far. You know, watch the Olympics. I mean, you know, these guys throw the javelin kind of, you know, and I'm assuming that, you know, Goliath is probably pretty good at throwing the javelin because he, you know, nobody else would fight him. So I'm sure he would just have javelin contests with himself, you know, and put a little thing out there. So, but he went running toward this man, you know, and sometimes, you know, you need to face your Goliath head on. You know, don't worry about it. Hey, you know what? It looks tough, but you know what? You're going to make it. You're going to get through this. Amen. You're going to get through it. It looks like there's no way, but you know what? My God my God is not natural thinking. He doesn't think like me. The Bible says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. You know, and that's why you need to line your thoughts up with his thoughts. That's why we have to put the mind of Christ on. Because when we look at things from a different perspective, then we start doing like the rest of Israelites and start running away. You know, but the Bible says, because we have the New Testament, he didn't have the New Testament, you know, it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Not you will flee from him. But a lot of people want to flee because they're like, I don't know what to do. Well, what you do when you don't know what to do is you turn to your God. And you understand, you know what, it's not your strength, but you come in God's strength and his power and his ability. Anyway, so it says, you know, here he was. David quickly ran out to meet him. That's verse 48. Verse 49, it says, reaching into his shepherd's bag, taking out a stone, a singular. Now, you know, I'm going to just be honest. If it was me, I would have took out three stones. So I'm ready to reload. You know, but he's doing this one of a time thing, you know, one at a time. I mean, you know, Well, if that doesn't work, I'll pull another one out. I mean, you know, I'm thinking, man, I'm grabbing three and putting one in the sling, start slinging it. And when that one goes, I'm putting the second one in and I'm going after it with number two. I'm sure his brain was, I'm not going to need to. Because my God's aiming this one. You know, and so, you know, our brain is, man, we're going to have a plan A, we're going to have a plan B, we're going to have a plan C, you know, maybe, you know, what do we have up to E? I mean, we know we got five of them. But first, you don't succeed, try again. You know, hopefully we'll get, after we get through five stones. Now, here's the thing, in all reality, before you get through the five, I'm sure the javelin's coming. You know, so anyway, he took out one stone, a stone, and he hurled it with his sling, and he hit the Philistine in the forehead. Now, evidently, according to what, you know, people say, it was like the only place, the guy had a helmet on, but right, it wasn't, you know, you see some of those helmets you see in middle times actually come over the nose. His nose are probably too big. You know, it's too much bronze or too much whatever, but it hit him like somewhere like right square on top of the nose, I guess, was where they indicate. I don't know where it hit him because I didn't really see this. I don't act like I know what I'm doing, but I don't really know. I mean, I don't really see. And here's the thing. I don't care if it hit him in the leg. It doesn't matter where it hit him. The fact is that, you know, that stone wasn't a mere natural stone. It might've been natural when it left David's sling, but in midair, God took care of that stone. And he knew where that stone had to hit. Because remember, this man was coming against God and his army. And see, when the devil comes against you, he's coming against you and God's army. Remember, you're not alone. I mean, you know, we have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of us. You know, I mean, he's right there on the inside of us. So coming against me is coming against God. Coming against Jesus Christ. I mean, because Jesus said he'll never leave me or forsake me. He's with me all times. So anyway, it says that hit him in the forehead, the stone sank in, and Goliath stumbled and fell down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and a stone, for he had no sword. Then David ran over and pulled Goliath's sword from his sheath, which, you know, that had to be kind of not easy either. I'm sure that sword was pretty hard to hold, I mean, for a 17-year-old. I mean, you know, because I understand, this is a sword made for a big 9-foot guy. You know, I mean, you know, so anyway, pulled the sword from the sheath and David used it to kill him. Now, the cutting the head off was probably pretty easy because, all you know, that thing's probably easy to slice. Once you get it up there and it comes down, you know, it's not that hard. I mean, you don't have to get it up too high. Just, you know, I'm sure when that thing dropped, it had to be pretty heavy. It didn't tell us how heavy his sword was, but I'm sure it was. It says, when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they turned and they ran. Now, you know, I'm assuming the Philistines had a few other guys that probably could fight. But, I mean, just because they killed the leader, they all ran away. They were afraid. I mean, and they were afraid of a little kid with a couple of stones. What they were going to do, pull stone 2, 3, and 4 out of his bag? You know, that's what they were afraid of, a couple of stones. Actually, they probably weren't afraid. They're you know, the fact that David was able to do this in their own mind. See, David was not really able to do it, but their own mind, David was able to do it. The point is the Lord was with David and his stones and the whole army. But the Lord would have been with anybody. He's no respecter. I mean, this is a 17-year-old kid with probably no sense. That's why he did it. And that's the thing about it is, no matter how stupid you are, God can use you. And probably the stupider, the better. You know, because, you know, there are some guys, you know, they don't think. Because you know what? They know God's with them and for them. And, you know, and I do believe that there should be a fine balance between using your brain and knowing God's with you. All right? You know, like, you know, maybe it's not good to jump out on the wing of an airplane while it's flying up in the air. You know what? You know, I know a few guys, people do. But if you do, hopefully you have a parachute of some sort and know how to use that. You know, but, you know, there are some people that do stupid things, you know, just for it. But you see, Paul, I mean, David had a reason here. He wasn't just showing off his how awesome he was with a sling. He was coming against his Goliath. Yep. See, a lot of people want to show off, like, you know, standing on a wing of air. I'm just trying to give you, you know, it's not about showing off. It's about coming against somebody in a battle. Because we are in a battle all the time.
That's right.
And I quote it all the time. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. He's always coming against us. And when it seems everything calms down, wait 3 weeks and it all comes back. And I believe we're living in the last days, and I believe he's more persistent than ever. And I told him, he'll try to attack you, your family, because if he attacks your family, that's attacking you. You know, and sometimes it's not just a little fox or coyote. Sometimes it's a Goliath of an issue. But praise God that we have a God that's way bigger than Goliath. And just like David did, we can trust our God. Remember, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. You know what? David was not, because I don't know how it's going to work. I'm just the sling holder. He knew, but he told Goliath what was going to happen, because he said, you know what? You're coming against my God. So he said, you know, his God's going to destroy you. Yep. Not me. We're not doing anything. We're just trusting God. You know, and so whether it's a Goliath or whether it's a bear, whether it's a lion, whether it's a coyote, or whether it's a giraffe or whatever it is coming against you, it doesn't matter. The same God will deliver you from, you know, maybe it's a chihuahua that's coming against you, or what, chihuahuas are kind of pesky sometimes. I mean, you know, they might can't bite a whole lot, but you know, they can, they're irritating sometimes if they're, you know, get these little dogs at your feet and they're all, you know, they're not hurting you, but there's a lot of things that do irritate us. But whatever comes against us, it doesn't matter what it is. Our God is able, but you know what? If it's a small thing, don't say, well, that was just no big deal. No, you know what? The same faith for a small thing is the same faith for a Goliath.
Amen.
So, you know, whether it's what Dad said, $5 a day or whatever he needed back then, it was, you know, you didn't probably need a couple of dollars back when, you know, talking about 1974. $5, you know, got the dollar menu at McDonald's. That's five things. You know, so, you know, you probably need a whole lot less. But you know what? It doesn't matter. Our God is able. You have to know who your God is. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you just for everything you're doing in our life. But Father, help us to understand whenever we face a situation that seems like a Goliath to us, that we can know that the same God that delivers from the small things will deliver us from our big Goliath of a situation. And help us to understand that it's not about who we are or about what we've done, but it's about who we are in Christ Jesus and who we are through you. And Father God, help us understand that we are strong through you, Father. Father, we thank you right now for each and every person that's here tonight. And we thank you, Father, if anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they'll come back, they'll come to him tonight. If you're here tonight, you say, Craig, I'm not saved. I don't know Jesus. So I don't have him with me. Lift your hand. We want to pray with you. If you've never been saved, just lift your hand. We want to make sure you're saved. Or maybe you're here and you say, well, Craig, man, I've walked with God for a long time, but I kind of turned my back and I went away. And I want to come back and rededicate my life to God. If that's you, we want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here and you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, I tell you what, it's an experience. It's an awesome experience and you need to have that. If you've never been filled, we want to pray with you across the auditorium. Hallelujah. I don't see any hands. Father God, we just thank you right now. If anyone is here that's not saved, we thank you for sending laborers across their path on a daily basis. And we thank you, Father, for them being saved, Father. We just thank you for it now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Let's all stand up. Before we go, if you're here tonight and you need prayer, you need healing in your body, come down here. We want to minister God's healing power to you. Amen. So if you're sick in your body, maybe you've been having that Goliath of a flu going around or whatever it is. I don't care if it's a big thing. I don't care if it's a small thing. If you need healing, come down here. You know, some people say, I've heard people say, well, it's just a small thing. It doesn't matter. I don't want to have a flu and I don't want to have a headache. Amen. So if you need healing, just come on down here. Amen. The same God that heals us from a headache will also heal us from terminal cancer. There's no difference. Amen. Just come on down here, sir. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just what I want to do is I want to ask you guys just to close your eyes and lift hands, both hands toward heaven. And Just say, thank you, Father, that I'm healed. Father God, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus. As we lay our hands upon their head, we thank you for the healing power of God flowing in their body from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. And we thank you, Father, for it in the name of Jesus. Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Oh, there it is. That's it now. That's it now. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus. Oh, there it is. There it is. There it is. Thank you, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father God, hallelujah. Father God, right now, we thank you for Carl. We thank you for his life, and we thank you for the healing power of God flowing into his body from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. And we thank you, Father, for touching this heart, touching whatever else in this body that needs to be touched. We thank you, Father, for a complete healing, a complete heal. Oh, that's it right there. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for it now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. Well, I just want you to remember this sermon, you know, not right now, but you know, next time that you start something, you open your mail, you know, and hopefully it's not 125 pounds. Like, but you know, you open a mail and you get this huge bill and you're like, oh my God, I don't have any money. What am I going to do? Remember, you know what? Your God, the same God that took care of Goliath will take care of you too. You know, and every time you have an opportunity to get all concerned and upset about a situation, whether it's physical, financial, emotional, whatever it is, you know what? Remember, you have that same God. Amen. Praise God. Well, if you're a first-time visitor, we're so glad to have you tonight. We have the connection team. They're going to be in the aisle. They're going to give you, they have a gift for you that we want you to have. So just follow them to a special place real quickly. They have a gift for you. For the rest of you, we're so glad you came tonight. Amen. Amen. But I want you to continue to pray for Mom and Dad and the Crusade team as they're there in Texas. They're in New Braunfels, Texas, right now, starting tonight through Tuesday night. And then on Wednesday, they go to Waco, Texas. You know, we're from Texas originally, so I'm sure my parents are glad to be back home in Texas, you know. So anyway. But I mean, you know, sometimes that we don't think about other people, but you know what? There are people that need to be saved, people that need to be healed. And I want to continue to pray for their strength. I do know my dad's been under the weather a little bit here recently. I mean, he's doing really good now, but he had some tough times with his voice. You know, whenever you're a minister, whenever you start coughing and stuff, that's not an easy thing. Because the most distracting thing you can do is be preaching and cough. You know, you can't preach and cough at the same time. It's you know, pretty distracting. But, you know, continue to pray for them. I mean, you know, I know great things are happening in Texas. Amen. Praise God. Amen. You know the way we dismiss around here? I'll be back there to shake your hand at the door. If you don't want to shake my hand, we have other doors you can go out. And you can do that as well. All right. God bless you guys. We'll see you here next week.